The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into the new week. Thanks for being with us. Coming up, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Jed Fish leaves Arizona, goes to Washington. Jordan Hamm is going to be with us. Jordan, of course, covering everything on the college platform for Sports 361. His view on what has happened with the U of A and what next steps may take place. I'll have my thoughts here momentarily. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. You're not surprised, are you? I mean, Jed Fish leaving? What has Jed Fish's resume shown us through the years? He leaves. What is it about a guy leaving for what is a better opportunity? U of A people will think I'm picking on them. The sane ones, the ones that I feel as though understand what we do here on this show, because I didn't go to ASU, I didn't go to U of A, and I just don't care. I kick it right down the middle. Washington's a better job. They're paying his salary exorbitantly more. Reportedly double, some will dispute that. I don't care. It's more. It's a lot more, okay? He did what he could in Tucson. He turned the program around. I think fans should be very grateful. When you consider that Kevin Sumlin had run this thing way off the road and it was one of the worst, if not the worst, college football program in America. It was. I mean, a team that gave up 70 to their rival, you know, a coach that was more interested in nightlife in Tucson than coaching, no relationship with anybody in state. And what did Jed Fish do? Jed Fish came in, he hired a staff that pretty much stayed together. Don Brown leaving was a bit of a surprise. Nansen leaving at the end of this season, he should go to Texas. It's a better job. You know, alums are never going to want to hear that their school is not the ideal spot, but it's a fact. Okay, but it's, gosh, this just isn't that hard. The way he left, there's no perfect way to leave a job. Well, he went on Jimmy's show, he went on Jim Rome's show and said that he was, we love it in Tucson. That's what they always say. You've never been through this before because your football program has never been like this before. Think about all the names of coaches that have come and gone. Stoops fired. Rich Rod had to leave. Gosh almighty, this isn't that hard. Sumlin had to be fired. You've never had a coach that's been desired. This is how it works. Larry Smith, okay? Larry Smith was desired. How long ago was that? Many of you are sitting here like, who the heck is Larry Smith and why is Brad yelling at me? Because I'm just like, guys, I can't believe he'd leave us. What? Washington's not a great job compared to what? Are you hearing yourself? I understand that fandom is just like, you know, oh, everything's great here. No, it's not. In Tucson, he did a tremendous job. There should be an eternal debt of gratitude that he got this thing turned around. To me, and I'll talk to both Wilner and Jordy about this, because they're both smarter than I'll ever be on this subject or many others. But to me, it's like, you know, Brennan Carroll's in the house. Wouldn't it be cool if Brandon brought his dad down? Yeah, it would be cool if it was Fantasyland. Wouldn't it be cool if, and people are losing their minds. I'm not. I'm going to calm down a little bit on this. Jed leaving for Washington is the right move. Did he have to do the video of the AD from Washington coming to his house while he still has a U of A flag out front of his house? Well, in Washington, they love it. They love it. And by the way, just so we're really clear, let me fill you on something. They just played in a national title game, which is something that U of A football's never done. So, of course, the AD is going to fly down and rally the fan base. Of course he is. What was it when Greg Byrne did the whole thing with Rich Rod in the airplane? Remember when Rich Rod came here and how he did that and how excited the fan? That's all Washington did. You just don't like it being put on you. These players are screwed. these poor freshmen that I'm going to talk to Jordy about this, like Damon Williams or any of these freshmen that just left their high school, they're 17, 18 years of age. They're all excited. They want to get started early. They enroll in classes last week, and then their coach leaves a week later. So now they have 30 days to go in the portal and go through it all again. Hey, Mom, all that gear you bought me at Target that's red, white, and blue, or the shop online U of A, we have to have a garage sale. We have to have it in a hurry. Hey, Daddy Baller, all the stuff that you bought that has U of A logos on it, the socks, the underwear, the pajamas, the watch, the all the Wilbur stuff, throw it in the trash. Could you imagine? I mean, seriously, I've had four of my kids have gone on to college. I couldn't imagine 6 days in if and one of them was for athletics, the other three were academics, but getting a phone call of, yeah, coach left and I can't do anything about it. The other thing is I need to talk to Wilner about it. The idea that we're begging boosters, because that's really what's going on. We're begging you, not we, but colleges are begging for money. For NIL and collectives. So let me get this straight. So university does have $7.7 million to give to Jedfish, but they need to go back to the boosters to get the collective paid for. The university can't do it. It's a collective. It's an outside group. So if they pay Jedfish like, I don't know, $4 million a year, then that's $3.7 million. I didn't major in math, but I think I can do it. $3.7 million it's put over in the NIL pot. Kenny Dillingham is sitting here, from my understanding, in less than $4 million a year to work with in NIL dollars, NIL funds. And his coaching staff probably wouldn't want to hear this, but if you paid coaches less than, or you took television revenue dollars and put it in the NIL within the university. If the university internally handled it in the athletic department, let's just say there's an office over the athletic department, because right now there isn't. There's an office over there that the football coaches can't be a part of. So we just all pretend that this nonsense isn't going on. Let's just get straight to the point. Here's the office. Here's Elijah Badger. Here's the football coach. Here's what you're making. Well, let's see if we can work on this. Okay, we have extra funds over here. Instead of Kenny being sitting there straddling over $3 million to pay a full football team, which in some places is one player. It's crazy to me. It's not crazy Jedfish leaving. It's not. Washington's a better job. He got offered more money. He played the game. The agent played. The agent's the one. If fans want to be mad at somebody, it's the agent. Jimmy Sexton is a name that is a power agent, has most of the SEC. Jimmy Sexton took Kalen DeBoer from Washington and got him down to Alabama. I personally think there's a little bit of U of A is culpable in this in not keeping Jed, if that's what you wanted to do. Because last season when they won five, you could see the trajectory going, okay? He was 3-3 at one point this season. But there still should have been the dialogue of, hey, look, we went from 1-5. We need to up your number. He was making less than Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. Complete slight swipe in the face. So he goes on this run. The agent absolutely, I believe, behind the scenes knew that there were possibilities. I mean, Harbaugh's meeting with Chargers today, but Michigan was going to come open or likely come open, which was going to cause a trickle-down effect. Then we saw where we saw where Nick Saban decided to say, peace out. I'm not going to sit here and do NIL and chase recruits who aren't loyal and all that stuff. So he took off. So all of a sudden, for agents, it's, hey, sit tight. And Jed started saying this, and we talked about it on the show. I wrote about it. Like, why is this thing still sitting on the desk? So was U of A late to the party if they really wanted Jedfish? If they really wanted, or is this just the way he's wired where he's a job jumper? I think Wilner wrote, It's like 16 different stops that he's been in. And we'll have John on here momentarily. But all that to say is it's fascinating how the anger and angst will give way to, oh, we're so excited for the new coach. Brennan at San Jose State makes a lot of sense to me. He really does. Ties to Dick Tomey makes a lot of sense. And with Harbaugh, if Michigan is about to come open, look what happened this week. Mike Norvell got a new contract at Florida State. Steve Sarkisian got a new contract at Texas. They both got bumps. Not that they needed bumps, but their agents worked for them. This is the business of sports that fans don't like. Fans just want to be fans, and I'm sorry that this business side is going on. I would think revenue sharing with players would prevent some of this in college. I do. Because the players, once again, while they're getting some NIL, they're not getting nearly what they deserve. We'll talk with John Wilner about that and much, much more. Suns have an interesting game tomorrow night against Sacramento. Last night they didn't have an interesting game because Portland's not good. As we continue to mention to you, there's going to be this because the Suns have games against teams that aren't very good for the most part. This week's somewhat interesting. Sacramento's interesting. New Orleans is somewhat interesting. But they shot straight once again. 60% from the floor, you're going to win every game. NFL playoffs are terrific. I feel good for Alice Cooper, who's a big Detroit Lions fan. Valley legend, rock legend, of course. Happy for him. Oh, and the Dallas Cowboy fans, it took me a bit to get down to the store this morning because there were broken ankles of bandwagon Cowboy fans because they're the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumping fans that there are in all of sports outside of Laker fans. It was bad. It was bad. Packers drilled them, and of course, it's we're the Cowboys. We got it all figured out. And now, where are you? We'll just go we'll go hire Bill Belichick. Of course you will. That's going to solve everything. All right, we are back with John Wilner and then Jordan Hamm. That's after this timeout. Jed Fish leaves. He goes to Washington, and John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, knows all, tells all. For a few minutes. We're not surprised by this, right?
We are not surprised by this at all. It's Washington, but it could have been someplace else. You know, Fish was never a lifer at Arizona. He was never coming back for next season until he had signed that contract extension, which didn't get signed. You know, he was smart. His agent was smart. They waited to see what the marketplace had available. And you never know, right? I mean, a month ago, Fish was talking about how much his family loves Tucson. And then the next thing you know, Nick Saban is retired. So Alabama's got an opening and they hire Kalen DeBoer from Washington. Washington's got an opening and they poach Jed Fish. That's how it works. If you have a head coach who's not an alum, who doesn't have ties to the university or the community, you have a flight risk. And Fish is his history is he moves around a lot. I mean, more than most coaches, and most coaches move.
Did the Arizona front office mishandle this? Meaning, did they not get out in front of this way in advance as the season progressed? Or, John, do we go back to last July when you and I are sitting with each other at Pac-12 Media Day, and it's like, you know what, if he doesn't win this year, he's probably going to be gone. Is there something to they just didn't get out in front of this, or the tsunami came so quick they didn't have a chance to?
You know, I think that I don't know enough about the engagement between the university and Fish and his agent, say early November, mid-November. I mean, middle of October, they were 3-3. Mm. He's not on the market at all for anybody. Right. And then all of a sudden, they got to win here, win there. And the next thing you know, it's late November. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. I don't know where things stood at that point. I believe they hadn't fully engaged Fish and his agent at that point, but it did happen fast. And they certainly, you know, they have a lot of other issues going on.
Correct.
Right. The Correct. Amount of money the offer for Fish is not, you know, is coming from a different pool than what we heard about with the $250 million financial mistake. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different dynamics going on at the university when it comes to financing athletics. And you know, I don't necessarily put the blame on the administration in this one. I do with Washington. I think Washington dropped the ball with Kalen DeBoer and should have gotten that done earlier. We could talk about that. But Arizona, I think, is a little bit more innocent. They just didn't have the resources, right? Washington comes at him with almost $8 million a year. Arizona couldn't go much above about $5 million.
Is it innocence or is it naivety? Because let's just look at U of A football. This is not U of A basketball, right? So
yeah.
Is it they've never been in this spot before. And the world has changed at light speed with NIL and portal and all of these aspects that nobody's ever thought, you know, we got to get up to where our coach should be paid. He was being paid less than Kenny Dillingham this past season. So he had every right to put himself out on the market.
He did, but at the start of the season, he had gone 1-11 and 5-7, right? So, and then he's 3-3 in the middle of October. And the thing is, they're dealing with so much other stuff because of the fallout from the financial mess, right? In athletics, you know, are there going to be layoffs? Are they going to cut sports? All those kind of things. So, I don't know that they were naive. I do think things happened very quickly, and I think Fish and his agent were very smart to push signing that contract off. But it's tough circumstances. Look, Arizona, I was trying to think, when was the last time Arizona lost its football coach to another job, right?
That's my point, right.
They fired Kevin Sumlin. They fired Rich Rodriguez. Stoops fired. Makovic fired. You know, it's been a long, long – Tomey fired. I mean, was it Jim Young? Or no, it was Larry Smith. It might have been Larry Smith who went to USC, right? I think – so it's been decades off the top of my head since Arizona lost a coach to another job as opposed to firing its coach.
Mm. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes on the departure of Jed Fish. He leaves. Fans are outraged, and I'm not sure whether it's that he left or it's how he left in the way that he went out with his social media showing the UW athletic director coming to his house. It's the three-minute conversation with the players. It's saying, you know, a little thing at the airport saying goodbye. Again, is this a football program that's never experienced this, which is a fact, one.
Yeah.
Two, did Fish just not handle this right, or there is no way to handle a departure, correct?
No way to handle a departure. Arizona fans are stung, and I totally get it, but that's what happens. They just haven't experienced this. Washington fans, 3 days ago, stunned. Stunned. You know, the Washington players found out about Kalen DeBoer leaving for Alabama on ESPN. This is what happens. It's just Arizona fans haven't experienced it, right? I don't blame Fish at all for the way he handled it because there's no good way to do it. Mm-hmm. And again, it gets back to the fact he doesn't have any blood ties to the university or the community, right? He's not an alum. This is the risk you take when you hire somebody that doesn't have deep connections. It's not necessarily, you know, a personal for them, right? Fish is looking at this as a professional move, not that he's personally leaving behind a place that means so much to him. He's been there for 3 years, 3 years and like 1 month.
Do you think he'll have success there, John? Because he has moved around to so many jobs. You put it correctly in your column. If you've not seen John's column, it's on sports360az.com. You can follow him over on at Wilner Hotline, his other social channels as well. Do you think he will succeed? Or, Brad, you know what? He didn't even have the right quarterback at the start of this season.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, right? If Jaden Delora doesn't get hurt, Jed Fish probably in Washington right now. Right. Because Noah Fifita doesn't come in and their season doesn't turn around. First you got to define success at Washington, which is a lot different than success in Arizona. To me, success at Washington in the Big Ten and in the college football playoff expansion era is going to be making the playoff every few years. Mm-hmm. Do I think he can do that at Washington? Maybe. I'm not totally convinced. I don't think Washington had a home run hire available. And I don't think Fish is a home run hire for them. Could be proven wrong, but I don't, you know, he's got, again, they hired him because of a seven game winning streak. That's it. That's a small sample size for a head coach at a top tier Big Ten program. And the other thing is, How long is he going to stay? He hadn't been anywhere longer than, you know, four. He was with the Ravens for 4 years. Otherwise, he's been nowhere longer than three in the last 20 years. And he's a Florida alum, and Florida could have a coaching vacancy in a couple of years. I don't know how long he's going to stay at Washington, but that, if you know, I'm a Husky fan, I'd be worried that he's a flight risk.
He's at less than 50 years of age, too, and he's been in the NFL. He's had NFL experience. And is that the direction that he wants to go rather than having to sit here and say, I've got to deal with the collectives and NILs and
transfer
and all that stuff? So, no, I think I look at that hire and say he clearly padded his pocketbook. To me, Washington, many will disagree with me on this. Washington is one of those programs that has great history and great tradition. It hasn't had it in the last couple of years with the Jimmy Lake disaster, but Chris Peterson did a phenomenal job up there. They have the resources. They have the passion. They're one of the few sports markets that has the pro college, where the college actually does get supported more than even the pro teams in some spaces up there.
Yep.
So it is a very unique situation for him to go to. In terms of Arizona, is it a good job? Because, look, this year, it's only fair to say, anybody who wants to argue this, I don't know, you just are red, white, and blue in your colors. That's been a bad job the last few years with Kevin Sumlin running the thing into the ground. Jed did a nice job bringing it back. You have this side of the university where there's concern about the finances. Is it a good job right now?
It's an okay job, I think. I mean, their roster is about to get gutted, so whoever's coming in is going to have to start over, because I would imagine most of these guys are going to enter in the transfer portal, and a bunch of them could follow Fish to Seattle. I mean, Washington's starting quarterback next season could be Noah Fifita, right? Throwing to Torian McMillan. That's just the way it works these days. Arizona does not have a lot of money to throw around, right? My guess is they're going to end up looking at either a coordinator who has proven himself at the power conference level, or now, I'm not saying Washington's Ryan Grubb, who's going to Alabama, but somebody like that, a top tier coordinator, or they're going to have to hire a head coach from the Group of Five level, like San Jose State's Brent Brennan, who's the guy I think they need to hire. He worked at Arizona under Dick Tomey. His brother played at Arizona. Brennan would not be a flight risk in Tucson, and he's winning consistently at San Jose State, which is a very difficult job.
And you have to flip it over too, John, to Texas. Nansen leaves, he goes over to Texas. Akina goes over to Texas. So you have two people that are tied directly to this roster, and you have Texas NIL money and Washington NIL money. It's not looking pretty as you and I sit here today.
Nope.
Though people will say, the Fifita family is wired differently. I don't know what wired differently means if the decimal point is way down the line, or they just are wired differently. There are those families that don't care about that stuff.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Maybe he won't leave. I don't know what's going to happen, but you look, Washington's roster was gutted. NFL, transfer portal, all that kind of thing.
Yep.
I expect the same thing to happen to Arizona. That's how this system is set up now. And these players have 30 days, right? The transfer portal closed in early January, but if you lose your head coach, you have 30 more days. So we're going to see a lot of Arizona players leave. Some may head to the NFL, right? The deadline's today. We'll see what the final list looks like from the NFL. But I would imagine that Arizona is going to take a lot of hits with its top-tier players. That's just what happens. I mean, it happened to Alabama. I mean, it happens everywhere. And then you throw in the NIL money, and sure, Arizona is going to probably be starting over next season, not where it was when Fish took over in 2020, but, you know, closer to what things were 18 months ago than what they are now.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, none better across the country and covering the Pac-12 and college football than Johnny. Joins us every week. His content is on sports360az.com. I want to turn the conversation, before I let you go, into the money that is being paid to coaches, along with you have the collectives asking for money to try to pay players. Somewhere, John, along the way, Jed Fish is going to get almost $8 million. If he would have been paid, I don't know, $5 million a year three of it goes into the collective. We're not asking boosters and alums. Have we completely gone off the rails on this side of the story, or am I missing the point?
No, it's totally off the rails. And the NCAA recognizes it. The schools recognize it. And that's why the proposal from the new NCAA president would allow the schools to cut NIL deals with the athletes directly instead of it all having to go through these collectives. Because right now, like if you're a big donor, say to Arizona or ASU, right? Well, do I donate to the school to help pay for all the Olympic sports and basketballs? Do I donate to the schools to pay for the football coaching staff? Do I donate to the collective, right? You're getting tugged in all these different directions, and it's having an impact on the fundraising for the universities. So the NCAA is proposing just have the schools cut the NIL deals with the athletes directly. That way, basically, donors just throw all their money to the schools, all their available money to the schools. The schools figure out how to use it. But it is completely off the rails. College football is like it's spun off its axis. It's like shooting out, you know, it's like the Earth is off its orbit, shooting out into the solar system, really. And they've got to get it. They somehow, whether it's through Congress or internally, they got to get the thing back on track. And there's a lot of issues to answer. NIL, transfer portal, the calendar of recruiting and transfers, right? We've talked about that. And it's all going to, if they don't stop it, it's just going to get worse because there's more pressure for money, more pressure to win, more pressure to fund your Olympic sports. It's nuts at an increasing rate. Crazy.
So, John, you know, when Jimbo Fisher gets paid over $70 million just to go lay on the beach at Texas A&M, they clearly have the money. The television contracts are out there. Why is revenue sharing not brought up in all this? I mean, let's just share the revenue of TV, tickets, what comes in, booster money, and let's just share the revenue. Is that just too hard? Am I missing something here? Would I fail a business, a sports class?
No, you wouldn't. That's what makes perfect sense. And courtesy of a former Arizona State swimmer named Grant House, there is a lawsuit against the NCAA, a class action lawsuit, that is looking for just that, to take not only get more NIL money for former athletes, but to take 10% of the TV contracts and funnel that to the players. So let's say in the Big Ten, which has got a $1 billion a year media contract, $100 million a year would be funneled directly to the athletes in football and basketball, basically, and then a little bit to others. That is probably going to happen. And if it doesn't happen through the lawsuit filed by Grant House, it's going to happen in other ways. National Labor Relations Board has filed a complaint against USC and the NCAA that they want to declare the athletes employees, allow them to collectively bargain.
Right.
You have all these legal forces basically chopping at the foundation of amateurism in the NCAA. It is only a matter of time before the whole economic model changes, before there is revenue sharing with the players, before Olympic sports basically get cast adrift. Because if you're a school and you've all of a sudden got to pay 10% directly to your players, you got that. That money's got to come from somewhere, right? And you're going to favor football over everything else. And so that's why a lot of people are worried about the Olympic model in college athletics, because, you know, there's going to be less money available for those sports.
Love going deep in the weeds with you on this stuff, and appreciate your time as always. Have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
That's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout. So now let's turn our attention to the in-state and the recruiting side and just the program in general, because Jordan Hamm, knows all, tells all on the college platform, part of our team at sports360az.com, has been a part of covering U of A. He was down at the bowl game, has been around Jed Fish last couple of years. Did this move surprise you?
A little bit. I thought that if he was going to move, it would be for a Michigan. If Jim Harbaugh were to move on to the NFL, I didn't see necessarily Washington being the spot. I also thought that, look, if you have a roster that's built to be a top three roster in the Big 12, and it might even be higher than that. I'm not as familiar with some of these other Big 12 programs, but you're bringing back a ton of talent. You get another 10-win season. You get a shot at a Big 12 championship game, maybe the college football playoff. You have any elite job that you want in the next coaching cycle. So I thought he was going to hold off maybe one more year. But the way the dominoes fell, I mean, obviously that pay raise is pretty significant. You do have a bit of a clearer path to the college football playoff with the Big Ten probably getting a couple teams a year able to get to the college football playoff. So it's not super surprising, but it did. It just the way it went down and how quickly it went down did surprise me.
What about the players that are sitting there on the fence now? They're already in class. These are the freshman class. We'll start there because the Fafitas and the McMillans, as we sit here and talk about this today, that could change in a moment's notice. They could at least put their name in the portal, come back, depending on who the hire is. We'll get to that in a minute. But just let's go on the high school one because they came in and did a tremendous job on the high school level, landing the top player in the state over at Basha High. What does this do to those players? Talk about that side, because fans may not know. They're kind of stuck as we sit here and talk today.
Brad, imagine all the life transitions you had to make going to college. You know, we hear every year about, you know, what a big transition, how much you have to grow up that first semester of college. I know that was the case for me. And then your main confidant, your main mentor leaves 6 days in. It's not even a week. It was 6 days in that Jed Fish left after those early enrollees got there. And that's, you know, it sucks. Like I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That part of it definitely sucks. And it happens every year. Something needs to change within the calendar of how these things go down. I don't have the solution, but clearly this is not the way that we should be doing things. But for those guys now, it's okay. It's probably a wait and see who's going to be the head coach. You know, all these players can put their name in the transfer portal in 30 days without penalty when a coaching change happens. So do they just say, you know what, we're just going to cut bait. Like, I'm not going to get even more attached to a place that I may or may not be in. I'm just going to go try to jumpstart it. Or do you let the ground settle a little bit and see exactly what it is? You know, we talk so much about committing to a place you want to be, not necessarily a coach for Correct. These reasons, but that's really like, for any human being, that's really hard. For a teenager, that's really hard not to get attached to those people and those people that are going to be mentoring you. So I have a feeling for a lot of these players, especially the freshmen, they're going to wait and see at least who the hire will be. And then they can put their name in the portal. If they want to remove it, they can, you know, that sort of thing. But it does put not only the nucleus of the team that's very proven in question, but also this recruiting class, now the next recruiting class, it's building up. And that's why, you know, someone like Brennan Carroll could help try to, you know, ease that a little bit because he is a familiar face. He's the offensive coordinator. I've seen a lot of players go tweet, hire Nansen, for Johnny Nansen, the former defensive coordinator, who's now at Texas. Do you try to get that continuity and try to just bridge this as much as you can to try to keep the core in place? Or is it, we're going to go just try to get the best candidate that we can and probably have to start over in some respects?
Jordan Hamm with us for a couple of minutes. I do want to go back on this topic, though, to a player, Damon Williams, player of the year quarterback at Basha High School. He could go anywhere in the country, right? I mean, this was a high-end hire. Quarterbacks are always in demand, specifically on him, Jordan. We don't know what he's thinking today, but if he puts himself out in the open market, there's not going to be any shortage of suitors for him.
No, not at all. And there will be a ton of options. He was originally committed to Ole Miss. He's an Elite 11 quarterback. You know that distinction carries a lot of weight. And that just shows the type of player and the type of leader that he has been the past 4 years. I mean, he is one of the best to come through. And especially in the right systems. I do think this Jed Fish system really fit him really well. So if you can find a system similar to that, and maybe it is now Washington, you know, as we stand right now, Washington does not have a scholarship quarterback on their roster. So they're going to have to fill up that quarterback room, not only in terms of quality, but quantity and short term and long term. And, you know, DeMond is one of those guys that, you know, I would think a great deal of high end programs, no matter what the quarterback situation would be, would happily take his LOI to come there and be a part of that program.
Okay, let's move over to the coach and who makes sense from your end. It doesn't even have to be, here's a name, because there are going to be a lot of names that are thrown out. If Dave Hickey, and really Randy Robbins is the guy making the calls there. Let's just
be Robert Robbins.
Robert Robbins. Yeah, let's just be straight up about that. It's President Robbins who is saying this is what we're going to do. So under that understanding, when you go and look for the next guy to come along, because Jed Fish was a job jumper. Jed Fish did do a great job. Jed Fish was 3-3 at one point this past season. Maybe U of A had their eye off the ball and extending him. Maybe the agent was just that good, and it looks like now he was that good to say, hey, look, sit tight. Nick's going to leave. Trickle-down effect. You could go elsewhere. So who makes sense to you? What does it look like? Is it an assistant? Is it somebody internally? Well, what's it look like to you, Jordan? You cover the program.
I think Brendan Carroll would make a lot of sense. And that's because not only it seems, and again, I'm not in the locker room, but it does seem like guys really respect him on the roster and they really enjoy playing for him. And he is able to connect. He's an elite recruiter. And he could say, he could almost kind of push some of this angst onto Jed and say, hey, I get it. Like, this is college football, but like the vision we were preaching, it's still here because I'm still here. Some of these coaches are still here. We still believe in it. Come, you know, come back here or stay here and let's run it back. And let's just see, let's just take a year, kind of see what we can do. If you bring in a new head coach, there is a decent amount that a good chunk of, especially the established guys, might follow Jed, might go look at some of the other elite programs that were offering them out of high school. So keeping that nucleus, I think, in the short term is very important. But also, I think Carroll is a guy that has shown, you know, over the you think back to the first year of Jed, that 2021 team, that offense, to what it is now, and the steps it has taken. I think that Brendan Carroll could be a guy that really could do that. He's really good at identifying talent, at developing talent as well. And he even went back to, you know, they weren't big players early on in the transfer portal this past cycle. And it was kind of like, we're going to bet on these young guys that we recruited out of high school. And if we trust our evaluations, then I think that we're doing the right thing and, you know, these guys will flourish into what they are. It's kind of the same thing now with Carroll. If you trust your evaluations of why Carroll was a good offensive coordinator, he's grown over these last 3 years. Why not give him a shot? You know,
okay, let me jump in on that. Sure. Why should I hand the reins over to my program to a guy that's never been a head coach? Why should I do that?
Why did ASU do it?
Well, I'm looking at U of A. You know, every situation is different. And when I look at where they are with Carroll, and they just won 10 games, and they just went to a big bowl game, not the biggest, but they went to a big bowl game. I think it's kind of apples and oranges with Arizona State programs going to be on probation. They don't have a lot of money to spend. They go hire a young guy who's not that expensive and has got to navigate him through 200 violations or whatever it's going to be at some point when it is announced. That's what I'm hearing the number is. So when I look at where U of A is, and I'm sitting there as President Robbins, why should I hand the reins over to somebody who's never been a head coach? How do I sell that to the community? Well, the community, I'm sure you're going to say, is, well, he was part of this and the success and all that. Isn't that dangerous to just hand it over to somebody who's never done it?
I mean, it was the same case with Jed Fish. Like, he wasn't a head coach. Aside from a short interim stint at UCLA, he had never been a head coach either. So I think that familiarity, I think, is important. And it is one of those things where if there is an outsider coming in and saying, hey, please buy into this program, please buy in to this, I don't know how much of the Tucson community is going to buy that if they're just like, okay, well, then you're going to leave us in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Carroll, at least there's some familiarity there with the roster, with the community, you know, but there then again, also there is a big tie, like, his dad is up in the Seattle area. For now, he's a part of the Seahawks front office. Would it be for a guy with a young family, want to get close to the his dad, you know, have the grandparents around quite a bit, and then also be in a really good situation at Washington. But I really like Carroll. I think he could be a guy that really fits in well, and could be. Is he a bit unproven as a head coach? Yes, but I think a lot of these guys. Are you looking for the full rebuild, or do you think you can continue this on for a couple more years and kind of see what you have, especially given the financial restraints that the university is going to have and the optics of what that will look like of, you know, bringing in another big time coach that's going to have a large salary. You can give, you know, Brian Carroll a pay bump, give him that lower end head coach money that Jed was getting. And then I think you can also play that publicly a little bit easier to those that don't really know how the finances of a university work versus, you know, getting one of those bigger guys.
You could also flip it around and Jed Fish could bring Brennan Carroll up to Seattle.
100%. And that's a big draw too. So, you know, I think the ball is in U of A's court to try to keep Brennan Carroll. But there are a lot of draws, both personally and professionally, for him to go up to Seattle.
Mm-hmm. It's a better job in Seattle. Mm. Would you disagree with me on that? Or is it just, if you look at the two jobs and what they have to work with, Washington's NIL for their offense in the title game was north of $9.5 million. Mm-hmm. I can't ever see U of A getting close to that.
Right.
Storied franchise history of Washington football. Yeah, it hasn't been as good the last few years, but anybody who's covered college football over the last 20 to 30 years knows that Washington by far and away is better than a one blip 10-win season in Tucson.
Well, I think it's also, it comes down to what does Carroll want? Is it, I want the reins. I want to be the leader of a program and be the head coach in Tucson, or do I want to be the offensive coordinator? And do I want to jump back up into the NFL after a couple of years? Do I want to become a head coach a couple of years down the road? Do I feel like I'm ready to go? So I think, you know, short of us jumping into Brennan Carroll's ear, we don't know what those priorities will look like. Is he going to try to play the patient game or say, you know what? No, this opportunity became available. There are only so many head coaches in Division I, you know, Power 4 college football. I'm going to go take this and see what we can do and hopefully retain a lot of this roster that he had a big hand in building.
Why not their former defensive coordinator who's at Texas, who the players were openly lobbying for on Sunday night? Why not go that direction?
He's already gone. I know that you can, you know, obviously it's the Wild West right now with coaches. He can certainly jump back.
Right.
I think, at least from my perspective, is we saw the offense be successful for a couple years now and the growth that it has. Mm-hmm. This, when you talk about a blip, could it be a one hit wonder? That defense was really good this year, but that first year with Nance in it, it did take some time. And I think that speaks to the continuity, and why that's important. So that's why I'm leaning Carroll over that, but I think it does get really complicated with him already in another spot to have him then come back. And then are there players that are like, well, why'd you leave us in the first place? You know, if this is such a great spot, why were you moving on? Where Carroll's already in the building, you know, he was in that meeting. He knows everything that went down, whose feelings may be hurt and rightfully so. So he can start kind of, you know, navigating that where he's been in it versus Nansen's been gone for a couple weeks now.
Yeah. Any player who wonders why you would leave U of A for Texas really doesn't get the landscape of college football. But that's another discussion.
Exactly. But it's also coaches preaching loyalty and, you know, we're a family and we're doing this and we're doing that. And, you know, you could argue that the position he took at Texas is a slight step down in terms of title and everything like that. So it's a lot to navigate right now.
Before I get you out of here then, so let's just look at this. Who's going to stay and who's going to leave? We don't know, but I'll just go to where Nansen is at Texas and Akina is now at Texas and Jed is up in Washington. There's no way, from my view, that you can look at the pot of money for NIL in Tucson and say it's on the equal par as Austin, Texas or Seattle, Washington. Not a chance. So you're going to have those two guys that know what's going on down here coming to Tucson and saying, hey, are you interested in coming? Just from an NIL alone standpoint, do you expect mass defection from players into the portal this week if this thing isn't resolved by, let's just say, Wednesday or Thursday of this week?
I think with each day, the probability gets higher and higher. If you can, if it's Kiki coming in saying, hey, we had a list ready to go. Look how quickly Alabama got replaced and then Washington got replaced. You need to be on that tempo to get a coach in and kind of start plugging holes where you can. I think Washington will be coming in hard. I think Texas will be coming in hard. I'm sure based on if there are players, ASU will be taking an interesting look. You're telling me Oregon's not going to come down here and say, we have what we feel is a national title level roster and we can't add a couple studs, especially in the trenches over there. Like, there are going to be a lot of coaches and programs going after these players. So I think it is it's crucial for Dave Hege, Dr. Robbins to get a decision out there. And then it's almost, you know, ripping the band-aid is probably not the right analogy, but it is, we know the path we're going. It's not going to be 14 different ways where half the roster is saying, bring back Nansen. You know, some want Brennan Carroll. Some are already looking elsewhere. You know what the path is. You can go. You're not in a holding pattern anymore. And let's start rebuilding this thing and having and addressing the transfer portal here in the spring to get some players in to help replace the ones that you're going to lose.
It's going to be really interesting. I mean, there's so many tentacles to this story. And I think what you said there is absolutely dead flat right. It's the president who tells this AD what to do. And if they don't move quick, because it feels to me a little bit like Jed just played and the agent played them in December, from my view, by hinting around, well, we're close. Yeah, the agent's like, just sit tight, play the game. That's all this was. This was old-fashioned, work it through the media, float it out there that we're close to getting an agreement, and let's just see where the trickle-down effect is. Michigan still hasn't opened yet. Right. So there's going to be more trickle-down effect. A kid like Fifita could sit here and say, you know what, I'm going to stay at U of A for now, and then when the April portal opens up, I have a much better idea of who's going where. So this is fluid, and I think from your view, what are you expecting the next 24 to 48 hours to look like before I get you out of here?
I think from the U of A perspective, it's going to be a lot of damage control and probably, you know, a lot of coaches saying like, hey, before you hit Twitter and start bashing the program or whatever, just take a breath. Let's just kind of see what dust is going to settle. But like we said, I think U of A needs to move really quickly because they do. I know I keep talking about the immediate roster, but there's also guys that are freshmen and sophomores there that, you know, have provided a lot of depth. And this can be the short term of the next half decade of this program is built right now. We're seeing that right now with ASU where, you know, certain classes got depleted. When Kenny got here, he said the sophomore class, we had like four guys in it. And we saw that those depth issues there. So, you know, it may not be, you know, first, second teamers necessarily, but like those are still quality players that they brought in. So you really need to move quickly to maintain what you have and then start building upon that.
Jordan Hamm with us, given his insights around what happened in Tucson. Good stuff there, Jordy. Thanks.